to Make It Sound Fiction. This is episode 16, and we are the podcast that every week we pick apart pop culture and media that we like. No take backs. I'm your host, Nico, and I'm here with my co-host every
Tyler.
Week.
I said yeah. That. Cut you off, but whatever. I'm Tyler.
Cut me off. And since this episode is coming out when October has started, I think it would be apropos if maybe we just
talk about Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah. Just start early, like all the stores and
the store started in August.
Yeah.
We're late. We're late to talking about Christmas. No, actually, we're going to talk about not specifically Halloween, but since it is that time of year when things are spooky. We're going to talk about horror, maybe, I think would be.
Which is funny to talk about because I just am not, I'm not super into horror at all. Like
Me either.
Yeah.
Me either.
But I think that's sort of interesting because there's a lot of horror now, like we were just talking about before we hit record, that is for people who aren't super into like traditional horror stuff, it seems like. Or it seems like it's like a little bit more, like you said, psychological. And less, like, you know, gory, like, torture stuff.
Yeah. I think that's kind of, that's the thing that I've had a lot of trouble nailing down, is that I think if you grew up in a certain era, horror to you was less things that were just sort of cerebral, psychological, you know, and more things like that were just really
scary. Yeah, because like for me, I had the really traditional horror thing of just like, I didn't know you could like have somebody's arm being ripped off in a movie. That's horrible and terrifying. I didn't know that was a thing. That was like my first, you know, introduction.
There was so much about horror when I was a kid that I really just didn't want to involve myself with it. Like, I grew up in the era of the late 80s and 90s. So Chucky and Halloween and Jason and Freddy Krueger. And then
those are weird because if you go back to those, they seem kind of funny, right? But when you were watching them, I assume it was actually scary.
Yeah, I was like, you know, when you're a kid, those things are really scary. They're monsters. But they sort of defined like the horror genre as we knew it until we started getting into things like Scream, which was like meta commentary on the horror genre. And I found that stuff kind of neat. But the thing that I really didn't like was I didn't like that tension. I didn't like the like monstrous aspect to it because I have a really overactive imagination. And so the idea of like Chucky from Child's Play in my mind could totally happen and come and get me and kill me. And that's terrifying. And it put me off horror. Same thing with things like Poltergeist. I watched Poltergeist way too early as a kid and The Exorcist as well. And stuff like that, like, really bothered me and really kind of put me off ever wanting to watch that stuff. And it's been, like, a long road. I suspect for you, too, it's been a long road of just trying to actually get back into watching stuff that's, like, spooky or scary.
Yeah, but because a lot of the stuff now, at least, is it either has to be something like It Follows, which a lot of people really like because it's just got this like specific tone to it and like this like, I don't know, like aesthetic feel to it kind of thing. But
yeah,
it's hard to discern like that from things that are just like, you know, all the Paranormal Activities or, you know, Saw movies that are just like franchised. And also they're like, they seem to be built in a way that is like you expect it to be what you saw last time, but this year, which is really weird. Like, for horror, but it's like people really like it because it seems like people go in there for like the thrill, but not like for a film. It's like it's actually like weirdly like just if you, I mean I could be wrong, but because I haven't seen any of those, but it just seems like people are like, yeah, I love just watching the latest X or Y movie because I want to like have some jump scares and then move on.
Yeah, I can't handle jump scares. I can't handle that. That or like big monster.
Yeah.
Makeup still. I cannot handle it. I need something that's a little bit more of a hook. And I did see It Follows.
Yeah.
And I really love that like aesthetic. I still then stayed up until 4 a.m. after I saw that film.
Yeah.
Terrified in my hotel room because I was in Chicago at the time visiting my friend Gita. We saw that in the theater like near my hotel, and then I stayed up until 4 a.m. like absolutely dead certain that I could see the like It Follows monster in the doorway.
Did you ever watch I actually just forget the movie. There was a film fairly recently, it reminds me of It Follows, that Cloverfield.
No, I never. I also never.
I know the first one was a little bit more like typical horror, but I thought people really liked the sequel, Cloverfield Lane. What is it called? I forget what it's called.
Cloverfield. I think it's Cloverfield Lane, and I think that that's like. I thought Cloverfield was kind of like a monster movie.
It is, like, and then the second one's supposed to be like the monster is the guy, but there's also a monster. Yeah.
Yeah. I never saw either of them. The thing that I do when I'm interested in a movie but know that I can't handle it is I read a plot synopsis.
Yeah, I do that for horror movies too.
Yeah, I have to. I have to. And I've known so many people. I've known so many people. Again, Gita, my friend, who I've seen actually quite a few horror films with now. Her and I both do the thing where I just have to read plot synopsis.
Yeah, that's what I do because I just can't.
I can't handle it. Like
I completely can't handle it with anything horror. That when I played, I really liked playing the Dead Space games that came out, and those were horror. I actually played the second one without like headphones on because I wanted to like do the combat and stuff, but I didn't want to be like, I didn't want to have jump scares, so I just didn't wear my headphones.
I have never seen Hereditary, but I have actually read like 2 or 3 different plot summaries. I've seen several YouTube videos that talk about like how scenes were filmed and stuff like that. This movie is so intriguing to me, and yet I really feel like I'm going to have to like gird myself to ever watch that thing because it just weirds me out, which is weird because I've been trying and doing better at watching more horror films lately, like It Follows or Crimson Peak.
Yeah, I haven't seen that either.
The Witch was really good.
Yeah.
And those are all horror in the same way, but it's Hereditary, despite kind of being up my alley in that respect, I knew just kind of seeing what I saw in the ads that I just couldn't handle it because a lot of things that are horror or horror adjacent. So like, you know, psychological thrillers, things like that. Anything that has kind of tension. I always feel like not enough people give you like content warnings because they know that it's going to like ruin the surprise or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, because I have like, here's the thing is I have an anxiety disorder and I have a lot of like mental triggers and stuff like that. And I have a lot of things that actually bug me far beyond just like being, oh, scared. I'm so scared. It more things like animal death is a really big deal. And that's
a lot of horror movies. Yeah.
Animal death, certain kinds of body horror is really hard.
Yeah. That's a new thing for me is like the body horror stuff. Like when it's really, really egregious, I can't handle that anymore, which I used to be able to. I thought it was cool, but now I can't. Like there are times in the movie we're going to talk about today that I was just like, I don't know if I'm going to like this. And they thankfully didn't show that kind of stuff, but like completely, but yeah.
It's also like, and it's interesting because I think horror is one of those genres across all media that really gets away with doing some actually interestingly progressive stuff. Like,
yeah.
Which is funny because it hasn't always been progressive. Like it definitely, there are definitely tropes in horror that have been time and time again.
Yeah, there definitely is those.
Like
women
who have sex die first, people of color die first,
Things
like that. But there's also a big revival in feminist horror criticism, things with like dealing with like how body horror in a lot of films, and dealing with like things like pregnancy even, like, and stuff
Get
like
Out,
that.
Right? Like that's
Get Out yeah. is absolutely.
I haven't seen that either. So
I saw Get Out because, as much as it was horror, again, it had a lot of other stuff going on that really kind of, sold me on the idea of going and seeing. And I saw it in a theater too, which okay. I think is the best part of that experience is going and seeing Get Out in a theater. I should add probably
that sounds so horrible 50-50. Because I already am like, I watch stuff with subtitles and I'm like afraid of jump scares. I don't see how I would ever see a horror movie in the theater and like be able to comprehend everything.
Yeah, it's always hard for me to see something in a theater. But thankfully, weirdly enough, the dialogue in that movie is really well recorded and very like super clear and also sparse. Like that's the thing, is it's kind of pretty minimal on like no one's talking real fast. You can kind of see what people are saying and facial expressions help a lot.
Yeah.
But seeing Get Out in person in a theater with like, I would say probably a 50-50 mixed audience in terms of like white people and black people was really fascinating. And and so it kind of got me back into like thinking that maybe if I really picked and choose stuff that horror would be really good. And I've actually really enjoyed dabbling in it for those like feminist horror criticism sort of stuff, because like I also have watched almost every season of American Horror Story as well, which for some reason TV I have a little bit easier time with than a movie, I feel like. Because I don't know, American Horror Story is sort of limited in a lot of ways by like what it can show on television. But
plus, there's a little bit more. I mean, wouldn't a TV show be less inclined to be, you know, sort of the torture porn stuff and more of a story and narrative because it has to be episodes and stuff, you know?
Which is funny because the last season that I just watched which is American Horror Story Cult, was probably one of the times that I came closest to never watching that show ever again, because it was really bleak really kind of exploitative in a lot of ways, and really like, because it was about like the 2016 election. And so I was like, and there were a lot of things about that were just gross and terrible. There was no
weird
fantasy.
I never knew
element.
That show tackled that kind of thing.
I didn't either. I just thought Cult was going to be about like, you know, religious cults, and it really wasn't.
It's
it was
in
about
the name.
Like, it was about like cults of personality and things like that, and,
weird,
and definitely political personalities. So it was like, it had less of the fantasy aspects that all of the other American Horror Story seasons have had, which is like they deal with like things that are pretty common horror tropes, like mental institutions and sideshow carnivals and murder houses and serial killers.
I feel like with horror, I just tend to like stuff that is more infused with it a little bit. Like,
yeah, the aesthetic.
Yeah, because like the first season of True Detective has like horror-ish stuff in it that I liked.
Well, yeah, because that's, I mean, here's the thing that when I say horror adjacent is that there's, horror is such a big, like, I feel like horror is such a giant umbrella, and there's definitely subgenres and genres that borrow from horror in more of an oblique way. Like, True Detective is Southern Gothic, and Gothic is directly related to horror, but it doesn't always kind of operate in the same way. Like Crimson Peak, also Victorian horror, Gothic horror. It augments the like horror, and suffuses it into like aesthetic
like, I guess,
and characterization and stuff like that.
Like on the other side of things, like Bloodborne has a lot of like, Gothic horror in it, because it's just a lot of like, like monsters and stuff. And So, I mean, and that's the kind of stuff that I'm like, I'm okay with. I just like the pure horror stuff I usually don't like, so
I don't gravitate towards I really don't. And again, I think a lot of it has to do with like, I think people who are really driven to watch horror on a regular basis are people who have the ability or the desire to be scared. And I, you know, yeah. you can kind of come from all sorts of backgrounds on that one, but I have no desire to be scared.
Yeah, I don't want to be scared, but I am like, there's something, it's kind of, it's funny because I think the part that I end up liking is the like really basic narrative parts of what horror does, which is just like,
yeah,
having this like menace that, you know, either is like material or not. And it just, mm-hmm. and there's like, and then that fueling the narrative, I guess, like there's something interesting about that you don't get mm-hmm. a lot in regular stuff, the non-horror stuff.
Or
it's like too, if you do get, if you like, it's weird because it's almost like you get it in regular non-horror stuff that, but it's like really clear and having that sort of mysterious like nature mm-hmm. to it, or just like, I don't know, making the monster just like something like way unrealistic, but feel realistic in the movie or whatever it is. I like that, but I just don't get a lot of it because I'm not super into being scared.
I'm really not either.
Yeah.
Like I am never into being scared. So yeah, when I do watch horror, I want it to be something that I can kind of like watch at a distance.
Yeah.
Or there's other things mixed into it that I can appreciate and focus on versus the being scared aspect.
Yeah.
Which is why I don't tend to go for things that have jump scares or certain kinds of like material, but things where, yeah, like it suffuses it, it's an mm-hmm. aesthetic, it's more dealing with like psychological stuff. There's, you know, like there's definitely things that kind of come off with a lighter ending or have some sort of like resolution, versus I don't like horror that's super bleak. I do like there to be some, you know, payoff. It's interesting because horror is one of the few places that you'll like find really good like revenge stories and stuff. Like
it's funny that you say that, and I'm agreeing with you because it almost makes me feel like we're the we're not very picky about like general just media stuff, but horror specifically, we're incredibly picky.
It's so
which
picky.
Is weird because I usually like to kind of be. I don't know, I kind of pride myself on not being super picky about like just like media stuff. Like I'll watch, I'll listen to whatever. But with horror, it's like, nah, that's not for me. I don't want to. Which isn't bad. It's just kind of funny because I just usually think of myself as not being very like specific about stuff.
I think it goes back to the anxiety thing when I get a lot of physical reactions to being scared, and I have had panic attacks in my life. I kind of have, like, that's a very real, like, the feeling of dying is a very real thing, and I don't need to experience that in my media, so it's, like, being scared isn't fun, and I think it's less pickiness and more of just, like, if I'm going to spend 2 hours watching something, I want it to be something that I am not going to walk away from and feel miserable about, you know, like...
Yeah.
That's kind of why I really hated the last season of American Horror Stories. I binged that in like a day or two, and I came away with it feeling so depressed and upset.
Yeah.
And I was like, why did I put myself through that? And so, yeah, I have to be really picky. Otherwise, it will just completely ruin my life, you know? Like,
yeah, I guess picky makes it sound like you shouldn't be, you shouldn't have these issues. I guess I mean
discriminating,
more just like,
maybe?
Yeah, like discriminating. Like you're just have like specific wants and something, or like just having limits to like what you can really handle, I guess. Which mm-hmm. is, you know, I think everybody has that with different things, you know, even like music and stuff.
It's just horror, I think, is such a polarizing genre because.
Which is, I think that's really interesting that it is.
It is.
Because there's not a lot of genres like that.
Yeah. But I think it's because it can kind of encompass so many different things.
Yeah.
All at once. Like the fact that it's just this like big umbrella and stuff like that.
Also the fact that fear is just such a thing that like that's polarizing.
Exactly.
You know?
It's a lot more polarizing than being sad, I think, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would probably, I think I agree.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's
it's weird because it's like something you want to avoid as a person, but you can't avoid fear and not sadness. But but like some people really want that. But that's I don't know, because that's weird because I also sometimes want to watch something really sad, you know?
You do, for
I know,
sure.
That's me, but
Mr.
Still.
Sadness, whereas I'm like, nah, yeah. I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. There's so many gay films that I haven't watched yet because I'm like, I don't want to be sad.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I like to watch things that are educational or kind of uplifting in that way. So it's, yeah. But I've been trying, like, I know both of us have been trying to watch more horror things that are, you know, there's definitely things that I watched that definitely have a lot of value to them. Like, The Witch was really good. I really like that, but you can give me anything that involves witches and I'll watch it, like, so hardcore, like, not even funny. Because a lot of what has to do with, like, witch stuff is, like, women always tend to be really empowered in those things.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because The Witch was definitely about female disempowerment through most of it, but then the payoff's really good.
Hmm.
Or the payoff was at least satisfying. So it's interesting. There's definitely... Yeah, it's hard. I think in a lot of ways it's hard to kind of interact with horror as a woman, and I know there's a lot of women horror fans out there who will gobble up anything horror, and it would be kind of interesting maybe to talk to some of them about kind of their feelings. So if you are a woman in particular, you know, although this kind of goes for everybody, if you're somebody who's really into horror and you want to write in and talk about your experiences with horror, like, go right ahead, because it would be really interesting to hear from people that, like, routinely watch horror films and that, like, this is your jam, because
yeah.
It's definitely not us. That being said, we did watch a horror film this week, which was called Mandy. And it's in theaters, but it's also on some streaming services.
Is it only on Amazon or is it on other ones too?
I believe it's on...
Oh, you know what? I think it's on like Google Play or whatever and YouTube.
Yeah, it's like on the paid.
I think it's like $5 on all the three, like YouTube, Google,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, it's on Amazon.
Maybe iTunes, I don't know.
Yeah, like maybe iTunes and Google Play. So Mandy was... It's billed as like a thriller mystery, but
is it? Okay, I was wondering what it was supposed to like. Yeah, thriller
supposed
mystery.
To be.
Okay,
I would say that it's a grindhouse fantasy.
Yeah.
I watched it and really got the sense that it was like fantasy, and I mean like high, like fantasy and like Lord of the Rings shit. Like it was definitely a like.
Oh yeah, I definitely felt like that. Because
yeah.
They do the thing of, like, this is the sword of whatever the paladin. Like, they have lines like that in the film. The film also just, like, it is just, like, seeped in a specific aesthetic. Like, it just, it's just orange. Like, there's so much orange. There's orange on the left side of the screen in every shot, almost. Like, just orange and red.
Red
and in the
in
soundtrack
particular.
As well. Yeah, red, yeah.
It's Gita and Nathan from Kotaku actually wrote a really good like conversation and I think that's kind of what inspired to actually for us to watch it. So
the trailer, if you haven't seen it, you should definitely just watch the trailer.
Oh yeah,
because
the trailer is
incredibly like that is just the film in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
like you know, you'll understand what's up.
The director is Panos Cosmatos, who also did Through the Black Rainbow, which I also haven't seen, but I've been wanting
either,
to
yeah.
for a really long time because it seems to have a little
I'd
bit more
of
a narrative
of it,
than this
but,
one.
Yeah.
And the music is composed by Johan Johansson, who this is the last film that he got to score. And
I've never heard of this man, but I like the soundtrack for this film is incredible.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It absolutely is what carries this movie.
Yeah, it really is. Like, the same thing. I mean, I think the aesthetic is really strong too, just the look of it, but the music just really, it really evokes, because the film is already really sparse on, like, dialogue, or, like, really, like, clear dialogue, which is actually something I really like about it. But yeah, the soundtrack, like, the music just, it tells you what people were thinking so much, and you need that.
And so basically, I think we will probably spoil a little bit of this movie. So if you haven't seen Mandy, you want
it's kind of, I would say it's
podcast.
A little bit weird because you kind of like, if you do watch the trailer, you vaguely know.
Like, it's hard to spoil this movie.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting that like, all the people I've heard talk about it talk about, like, the bathroom scene as being, like, this, like, big, like, twist or reveal when it's really not. It's
oh,
just,
they talk about,
like,
that as the twist?
Not a twist, but, like, that...
The turning point?
The turning point, but they don't go into, like, detail. Like, the Waypoint Radio talked
yeah,
about
I was
it.
Just
but wouldn't go
to that.
Into specifics. Yeah. Which is weird because it's, like, it's just sort of part of the story. Like, basically, okay, so at on its face, Mandy is about a couple who are fairly isolated. They live in the woods.
Shocking.
Shocking. And basically, Mandy, who is the titular character, she is the wife or girlfriend of Nicolas Cage's character, Red. And she is seen by this, like, weird cult leader who's like, sort of passing through the area. And he takes a liking to her. And he basically, with the help of some, it's not really clear what they are.
Yeah.
The help of his cult some, like, hopped up on LSD biker demons.
But they're like depicted in a way that they're like, they like they're summoned, you know, they're like,
they're
from
summoned.
Another,
it's otherworldly. Like there's an otherworldly.
They don't really, they talk, but they like hiss and snarl.
They hiss.
Like
they,
yeah.
They sound like they, the Foley for all of them sounds like they mic'd a bunch of pit bulls, basically.
Yeah, and it's always dark, like you never really see them, really. Like, yeah.
They are wearing like biker clothes, but they're but the silhouettes are augmented by things that look like nails sticking out of them, and they always seem to like have stuff dripping off of them.
They
make they
look
wet
like
noises.
I don't know, like a Slipknot band. Like they look like Slipknot.
Yeah, they look like a Slipknot group member.
Or Gnar? Was it? Is it Gnar?
Gwar.
No.
Gwar.
Gwar.
Yeah,
that's
no, Gwar
it. Yeah,
had
yeah.
way less clothing. It looks like somebody took Daft Punk and put them through the blender with like metal machinery and then dripped them in like Vaseline and like goop lube for,
I mean, they
like,
they
hours.
Like literally drink like a goop like and then like hallucinate like
like that. We should say that the plot synopsis of this really doesn't do it justice because so much of the movie is about evoking images and feelings versus being realistic. This is not a realistic film.
No,
it's not
even like it's one of the actually like that part of the film where it's, you know, you would assume it's like it's this is just like a real life story. Well, I mean, obviously not real life, but you know what I mean? Like this is Earth, like right? But it slowly starts to make it feel like this is not Earth. You know what I mean?
It's
like,
not Earth. Yeah. Or this is, you know, like it's very much
the sky
taking
is
this, like
a different color and
yeah. It's definitely it's going for a 1980s aesthetic or like late 1970s, early 1980s aesthetic in a very earnest way that isn't like callbacky. It's just basically
it's not cheesy. That's not filled with like synths and stuff. Like it has some, but it's not like, it's not such a callback.
It's very like 80s in a metal band sort of way.
Yeah.
80s
it
like.
It is very metal band-y. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what that means, but
like,
I feel
like fantasy
that's
metal,
film.
Like
yeah,
like and this is
because
directly...
the soundtrack is like prog rock ish,
right?
Rock, yeah,
very like King Crimson, which also is used in the film. King Crimson in the film, and like Mandy
and Mandy's
herself,
always is like wearing
metal t-shirts, and she also draws very elaborate like fantasy art. So think of things that you would spray on the side of a van, like wizards and dragons and stuff.
But
and
it's
so
like,
it's
but
that
it's
aesthetic.
It, but it's like the world is that as well.
Yeah,
is the thing. It's like people will talk about these fantasy items. These like, you know, like in the dialogue, which I actually really liked. Like that, it's a new podcast. So I have to mention Dark Souls. It reminded me of Dark Souls because the way sometimes when they talk, it just the characters will say stuff that is like, I understand what you're saying, but like, what are you like? Where did you come from? And why are you telling me this? And like, is this even real? Like the way, like the scene where he talks about like, this is the sword of whatever the paladin, like the fallen whatever paladin. And then nobody like questions that. There's no explanation. That were just like, I like that dialogue because it just like, it says something about the world. You have no idea what's really going on, but you just take it for granted. And I don't
this
know.
Is the weird part because I don't actually remember that line.
It's when all I know is it's the sword that he gets stabbed with. Like immediately. You don't remember that at all? He gets stabbed immediately.
He gets stabbed, but is the dialogue that I heard in the movie was reading was like, was the cult leader talking, Jeremiah, talking about why Christ, you know, Christ, like he was talking about Jesus Christ.
It might have been before that when they showed the like dagger thing or this, I think they called it a sword, but.
Maybe, it was, yeah, his, I must have completely missed it.
I don't know, but,
I was there, like,
but there's another one where they say some other, like, something of the something that sounds like a RPG item, but
yeah,
it's in
no,
this world,
I
yeah.
Mean, like, and here's the thing is that, like, so Mandy herself, the character, she, okay, so this is a spoiler, she gets killed by the cult leader of the cult.
Because, like, it's a revenge film for the
It's corpse. A revenge film. Yeah. Because she, and I think we're going to get a little bit more deeper into that, but, like, she
that
laughs at the...
Yeah, and that doesn't really ruin the movie, but yeah.
She basically laughs at the cult leader when she's drugged up and about to be raped by this guy, and she laughs at him. She laughs at his music, which I found to be the most realistic thing in the whole fucking film, which was great. It kind of grounded it a little bit, but, like... She gets set on fire and killed by the cult, and Red goes on basically, what is a hero's journey except it's kind of like an anti-hero's journey?
Yeah, it definitely shows him as somebody that is actually also just like unhinged as well.
Unhinged and descending into madness because he lost, you know, kind of Manny. And, but you get the sense that both of them are two people who are deeply broken in some way. Like, there's reasons for them being out here, and... but his whole journey of like revenge is very like video gamey, very fantasy of like can suffer through inhuman
suiting
levels
up
of,
and then just going on a rampage,
drug fueled rampage. Yeah. He also blacksmiths his own weird H.S. Geiger looking like
demon it just
axe.
Looks like a weapon of the wolf, you know, like it. It just looks like a video gamey like sword or axe,
Well, because it's an axe that's got two heads, but the handle is also made out of metal, and it's got like details on it that look like a spine
for like no apparent reason. Like
for
just
no
makes
apparent
it,
reason, nothing in this.
And he wears it on his back, like it becomes like the silhouette of him that is just like, oh, here's the hero, here's Red. Here he is.
And he also like has a chainsaw fight like. Crushes people's skulls
that seems interesting.
Severs their heads and like puts the axe through their mouth. So there's a lot of that grindhouse aspect, the really like gory, over the top, way unbelievable,
which
sort
is,
of
honestly
of violence.
That is the part that was like the whole, you know, last half of the film, I guess.
Yeah,
that's the part that I guess was the least interesting to me. You know, I was like, it carried me along with it, I guess, but I just didn't super care about Red that much. I was way more interested
either.
In what was up with Mandy.
I could absolutely give you like a thousand speculations about what I think was up with Mandy.
Yeah.
Why she has a scar on her fight face, why she's so into fantasy books, why she's so into metal.
Yeah.
And it made me sad that this movie was really like relied more on like Nicolas Cage's very like manic acting with like blood
on his
really
face. Which is really good, but it's also just like not what I wanted.
Almost took me out of the film several times, like the grimacing, the weird like grimacing. Because
there's humor.
Know that
there's like weird funny parts that are supposed to sort of like
stick out, I guess.
I guess, yeah. But in, I don't know, something about the second half, like you said it was video gamey, which to me that almost like, it's video gamey in like the sense of like the progression of the hero's journey, but also it feels a little like this is awesome. Let's laugh and wink a little bit because this is so awesome and gory and cool. And that felt a little like self-obsessed in a way. I don't know.
They pulled out of what should have been a really touching moment where he sees Mandy again and he's having a flashback to like Mandy being alive. And then he like hallucinates that she's also in the car with him.
Right.
And then it pulls back into like, him grimacing like with tons of light on his face so you can see all the blood on his face. He like basically mugs at the camera in a very like Ash versus the Evil Dead sort of way.
Yeah, which I haven't seen, but I was reminded of that, like just from
well also
heard
the
of
chainsaws too. Yeah, the like little shack in the woods, the like chainsaws. It's very like much reminiscent. Like Panos Cosmatos must have seen that film. Yeah, he feels like very influenced by that, but like he definitely wanted Nick Cage to like mug for the camera in his like very the way that like everybody loves Nick Cage, which is like his like acting is just a little bit off kilter.
Yeah.
And it sucks because that really should have been like a really touching moment for this like revenge story, which, you know, I found a little trite. But like
I think they did a really good job at making Mandy an actual character and not just somebody to die.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like I think they do a good job at that, but I think because it's just that story again, it still sort of kills it a little bit for me. I guess because
I was for sure.
Yeah. I know that's like I don't know. Like I just it's weird. I feel kind of bad saying that because it's like they actually did the thing of like making Mandy a character, but then when they just do the thing like that everybody does, which is just kill the woman, then I'm just sort of like, "Eh, like I just don't know if I'm really ready to do this again. Like it just doesn't really get me like interested."
I should say that there at least seemed to be some sort of like heavy soul weighing price extracted of Red.
And they do that's what I mean, like they make her a character and then they make it like weigh on him, but I guess it too much of the film in the last part just feels like it's just super obsessed with how cool or how crazy he is or whatever.
Sure, it's about a man going on a journey to like kill, like he, you know, has a series of like sub boss fights and then he kills the final boss and then he like gets his reward of like hallucinating his dead girlfriend,
which is weird because I think it almost doesn't go too deep into the fantasy gaminess of it for like the first half, right? Like it teases at that stuff and it, but then it just goes super deep into it to the point where it's just like, I don't really like, you went too far to where I can't, it doesn't feel a little bit, it felt like it was smarter than that and then it didn't or something. I don't know.
It kind of got wrapped up in its own like aesthetic, I think. If it left the movie sort of like just slightly unsettling and didn't go as deep into like making everything super unbelievable and just about like the fighting and the gore, I think this would have been a much more effective film, but I think it would have not lent itself nearly as much to kind of like Panos Cosmatos' like style of like visuals sort of stuff. I don't know. Like he did so much good stuff with like color and sound, you know, kind of marrying that all together.
The lighting is so specific too. Like there's just so much like, you know, they do that. I forget what the name of it is. There's like a name for how you light like faces where it's like half of it's covered in darkness and the other half's like lit up. Like that's a pretty traditional like way to light somebody's face in a film, but they just do that so much and it always evokes like what is a lot of these characters are just like, you don't understand them 100% and you don't know if they are bad. It's just hard to tell because it's so gray in that way, but not gray in like a cliche way. It's just sort of like, I don't know. I feel like most of this film was me trying to figure out what is even happening and why, which is
exactly.
But I think that's the point, and that's not bad. It's just a lot of it is just like, wait, what? Who are these people? What is happening?
It definitely, if you take it as kind of an experience like an album, like listening through an album once, like a concept album, it makes a lot more sense in how much it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like,
no, it does. Yeah, because it's very like, it's not even like conceptual. It is, but it's also like, it has a narrative. It's not like you're completely lost.
It has a narrative.
Yeah.
But the narrative is pinned so, like, it's not a narrative. It's a very light narrative.
Yeah.
I would say it's a light narrative in that, it's a narrative in that things happen and there's motivations and there's
like
a little
payoffs
bit of dialogue.
Yeah.
There's payoffs to things. But it's not tethered into a huge amount of world building. It's not tethered into explanations for things, which is fine. It's okay for things to be very, like, representational, metaphorical, visual, you know, like, very,
like
dreamy.
I really liked how it didn't take a bunch of time to explain where things came from and why the world is like this. It just hints at it over and over again.
Yeah. But it could have maybe done just a little bit more in sort of just like giving me a reason to care about Red. I don't know. I just didn't care about Red by the end, which was kind of one of the failures, I guess. It was cool visually, soundtrack wise. And I definitely think that like they could have had something there because the middle part of the film where basically Red, right before Red decides to go on this like revenge journey, you basically see Nicolas Cage doing probably the acting of his life of just like this haunting visual of like him watching his wife or his girlfriend die this extremely banal scene of, like, the cult members leaving the next morning, like, just walking away, like, do-do-do-do-do, we just didn't burn a woman last night, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And then him, like, wrenching himself of his, like, barbed wire truss, like, and then going into the bathroom and, like, drinking most of a bottle of vodka that he had hidden in there.
Yeah.
And then just, like, screaming. Like, just...
like, in his underwear in the bathroom, just screaming and, like, covering himself in, like, the alcohol. Yeah.
And I thought that that, like, was gonna carry. And then the rest of the film was him just stripping away whatever, like, humanity he had.
Yeah.
And
because there's even a scene where he says, like... isn't there a scene where he's like, we're not going to talk about it? Like, how, like...
yeah, like, yeah. He was killing the demon guy, the demon biker guy, and he was like, you have a death wish, don't you? And he was like, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, which is funny, but it's also like, but that's... Like, that's kind of what we need to go into a little bit then, because otherwise this is just weirdly, like, purely visceral.
Yeah.
Which I
visceral
think...
is a good way of putting it. Yeah.
It's a strange film, but I like it, but I, yeah, like the, I just can't, I don't know, the last half just didn't, yeah, it just didn't do it.
It had some things I liked, it had some things I didn't, you yeah. know, like I don't know, I found the scene where Mandy laughs at Jeremiah to be so good.
Yeah, that, like, was really good.
Like, this woman has been through so much in her life, and the fact that she just won't capitulate to this guy playing his awful, shitty, self-absorbed, self-aggrandizing folk music, mm-hmm. like, that just was, I loved it. It was spiteful, she's been drugged, and she just laughs. She just fucking laughs at him, and you can, and the funny thing is that the scene, like, he's standing there naked, and I mean, like, actually naked, we get, like, yeah. full frontal.
Yeah.
And so it really sells the idea that he is this, like, embarrassed man, and that
yeah,
does,
it looks so pathetic.
It is. It's yeah. so pathetic. And it reminds me of the season of American Horror Story that I just watched, which had kind of the same concept of, like, there's Evan Peters plays a cult leader named, like, Kieran or something like that. Hmm. Like, some K name.
Yeah.
Like, he's very much, like, a mixture of, like, Charles Manson sort of charisma, but also, like, basically is seen on the show browsing, like, 4chan and Reddit, like, Red Pill subreddit
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. So that kind of gives you kind of his dogma, I guess, his, like, you know, ideology. And he said there's nothing worse than, a demoralized, embarrassed man. Like, there's nothing more dangerous. And that scene did that so much better than the entire season of American Horror Story.
Yeah.
Like, it did that thing in about 5 minutes that took, like, an entire season of a show to kind of get at. Just that, like, patheticness, that kind of, like... And so that's what made me so mad that they killed Mandy, because I was like, Mandy would have been a much better, like...
Yeah, like replace Mandy.
Replace Red with Mandy,
yeah.
Yeah, like, that's the thing that horror, I think, has started to do more and more lately, is, like, women who get to be in the revenge spot. Like, that's the new Halloween film, is about Jamie
right.
Lee Curtis's
yeah.
character getting her revenge on Michael Myers, which is, like, I find that so much more interesting than, you know, like I find that a really good revival and reboot idea
yeah.
than so many other ideas. The women, like, revenge when it is the powerless taking things into their own hands against the powerful, it's a much more believable and compelling story than, you know, guy goes on murder spree.
Yeah.
Part 17, you know, mm-hmm. like, so I think I would still recommend people watching
yeah
movie, though.
Yes, it's yeah. definitely a trip.
In so many yeah. ways. Like, the aesthetics are great, the music is great, the, like, it's got some grindhouse, it's got some, like, 80s fantasy going on, like that aesthetic. It's got,
and we should say, like, it is, it's not like full of jump scares. There's like maybe like a couple things that are a little bit startling, but not really. Like, there's not,
it's
much
violent. Yeah. I would say it's violent, not scary.
Yeah. So
basically,
if you're not into like just like a bunch of jump scares and stuff, you'd probably like this.
Yeah. There's definitely some sexual content. I will say that. Yeah. There's, you know, full frontal penises, and there's pornography on one of the TV screens, and there's. I should actually ask you, because one of the things that I have problems with a lot of like horror films is that like they're often shot very dark, and my monitor doesn't handle like super dark stuff very well. The demon guy that asks him if he has a death wish, he almost stabs Red with like his penis, doesn't he? Doesn't he have like a spike penis, or am I misinterpreting?
I didn't notice that. But I also have a dark, like, I was watching on my tablet, yeah. But that could be true. I wouldn't be surprised, but I didn't notice that, no.
Okay, because it felt to me like, okay, so this demon.
Did he have spikes like on his like groin? I didn't know that.
No. I mean, like, his entire penis was a spike. Like, he was watching a pornography film.
Oh, I thought it was just up. I thought he wasn't like doing anything. I mean, I thought,
oh, no, he was doing something, and he stood up and then had like a giant spike.
Maybe I'd have to watch the thing. I have no idea, because I thought he was like doing something else. Like, because didn't he snort something? Doesn't Red snort something that he was like?
He snorts coke. Yeah.
Right.
But like,
and so I thought that's what he was like doing. And it was just like, oh, he's edgy and stuff, so there's porn on the screen. But I didn't realize, I didn't notice that. Okay, huh.
I have no idea.
I don't not
penis.
Believe you. I feel like that could be true. It probably it would fit.
It was hard to tell, though.
Yeah.
It was really hard
to tell.
I mean,
we won't spoil, but I mean, like, you know, the fight, the like when he kills the guy at the end, like that scene also is, you know,
there's a lot
explicit.
Of like, yeah, there's a lot of like weird phallic imagery in this movie, I think, is kind of,
well, there's like, yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of misogyny in this film.
I mean, you notice the thing when the head, when the ending, right? No?
What thing
like,
at the end?
It was like he climaxed at the end.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Like I didn't
that was a weird sound, and like weird, like it just looked like, yeah.
Like I had completely.
You missed that
completely. I missed. Huh. I might have to watch this movie again, because I completely missed
something. Because I thought
that
was really weird, because I was just like, wait, like, suddenly you're adding this layer on this, like, this event happens. I'm really trying not
especially
to spoil,
especially because,
but, like,
the guy was like, oh, I'll blow you.
Yeah,
the
right?
The way that Red also kills that one cult guy who's also sort of, like, queer-coded as well. He kills him by like ramming the axe like through his mouth, through the back of his head, which is also, there's a lot of weird,
yeah, and
like,
that stuff to me is
sexual,
like,
stuff.
It's weird, because I just like Red having that moment at the end was weird, because it felt like we were supposed to be building to that, but I was like, wait, why, what does this have to do, like, this isn't about this, like, I was very confused, but it felt really overt that was the point.
Mandy's secretly about men, like, turning their sexual,
yeah, because it felt like all this rage and then a release,
into,
and it was
murder.
Like really weird to me. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah,
yeah. Yes. I it's really strange. I'm surprised I'm really shocked you actually didn't notice that.
There are so many things in some films where if I have to stop the film and stop watching and pay attention to something else, I'll just miss stuff, like, or I'll get hyper focused on a visual aspect.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I
and
do
then
that
too. Completely,
I put, probably
and completely
why I
missed
the thing with that you're talking about.
Yeah.
So
well,
weird.
You know, maybe you don't want to look at demon biker dick that looks like a spike. But you know,
it is a
like,
dark film, so it's just hard to see stuff.
It's
so
hard
you,
to see a lot of scenes. Yeah. You know, it's, and I noticed that horror does do that. Is it plays a lot with like sexual perversion and sexual deviancy and sexual, there's a lot of stuff in horror films that even if they're not overtly like sexual, even though they're not overtly like graphic, I mean, a good example of this is like Alien,
Yeah,
the whole thing of Alien and the body horror aspect of Alien is supposed to basically mimic men's fear of
wasn't
like,
the first
rape,
isn't Hellboy the same
like.
Way?
Yes, sort of pretty much is like a lot of body horror deals with like people.
I mean, it's not body horror in Hellboy, I guess, but
yeah, men's like fear of being impregnated or being violated sexually. That's sort of stuff. So now that I think about it, Manny could also be very much about like that as well.
Yeah.
So
but it just comes up so abruptly at the end and I guess in other stuff that it's just like, wait, this is what we were talking about? And I don't know. So
I think we should probably wrap up here, but I have a feeling we'll probably be talking more about horror because that would be a really good theme for like October, you know, spooky. So if there's
she's gonna
any...
say it like that every episode, by the way,
spooky.
Like
if you have any suggestions for horror stuff or just even like Halloween stuff
Case on Twitter, I think.
Oh,
already,
did we?
So,
yes, we got actually should read that tweet. If you want to read that, Tyler.
I don't have it up.
Okay.
I closed Twitter, so I won't look at it when we record.
Okay. So a standard case said, tended to recommend watching Wellington Paranormal mostly as revenge for how hard it can be to watch American shows, but also because I rather enjoyed it. Taika Waititi and Jemaine Clement had a hand in creating it, so if you like their stuff, it's worth a watch. Both of them also did What We Do in the Shadows, which if you have not seen it, it would make a really good October/Halloween, not scary, but spooky film that's a comedy documentary about vampires and werewolves, and I highly suggest it. So, if you have any suggestions, though, let us know. You can let us know on our Twitter, which is MISFcast, and also you can send us emails at makeitsoundfiction@gmail.com.
Yeah, and if you watch Mandy, you can let us know what you've thought about it, too.
Yeah,
kind
definitely
of curious.
Let us know what you think and stuff like that. So, Tyler, where can we find you on the internet?
I'm on Twitter at Tyler Culp, TylerColp. I'm also on YouTube, which is youtube.com/Tyler_Culp. I write for Blizzard Watch. I stream for them too. We both do. They're Blizzard Watch, blizzardwatch.com, but also they're on Twitch, which is twitch.tv/BlizzardWatch. Also, my Twitch is twitch.tv/OtterXPop.
Okay, you can find me on Twitter at AppleCiderWitch, Twitch at AppleCiderWitch, and I'm also on Blizzard Watch on Twitch. If you like the show, follow us on Twitter. As we said, you can send us in questions at makeitsoundfiction@gmail.com. Also, rate and review us on iTunes. It means a whole lot, and we will read your review on the show. Also, if you like the show, you can, tell us on Twitter. You can also tell your friends. Retweets also really good. Helps us get the word out there, and we love having new people listen to the show. So it's super great. Also, our intro and outro music is done by Maddie Myers. You can find all of her music at maddiemyers.net and also at, or Minnie Myers, MIDIMUYERS.net. Same as her Twitter, which is Minnie Myers as well. So I think that's it for the show this week, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Spooky!